This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for spending part of your Thursday, and it should have been opening day. We're robbed of that by COVID-19, and so many of us, you know, feeling the effects in so many ways in life, more serious than baseball, but in our little bubble, it is a sad day here on 106.7 The Fan, but we're trying to make it a happy day by donating as much as we can and inspiring as many of you guys to donate as possible to a great and worthy cause presented by Paisanos, not just pizza, something for everyone delivered. PaisanosPizza.com. The way this is working today is all the money we raise is going directly to area nonprofits that are working every day to support food insecurity needs, health, and human services. We're working directly with Nationals Philanthropies. You can donate right now at Nationals.com/fund. That's Nationals.com/fund. Every $106 donation is going to win a Nats rally towel. The first 200 people to donate, you can still win a lanyard from 106.7 The Fan to listen to games while you're in the ballpark. And this hour, if you donate $106, you enter to win a signed baseball from Davey Martinez, the manager of the Nationals, who joins us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Davey, it is great to hear from you again. We miss baseball. We miss you guys. How are you?
What's happening, guys? All good.
Where are you at right now, man? How you hanging out and how you getting by?
Hey, so who would have thunk it? A kid that grew up in New York City, spent most of his time in Florida. I ended up in Tennessee on a farm.
Clearly, I had that in the office school, maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have a house out in Tennessee, 350 acres. So you talk about being isolated. I'm very isolated right now.
What's the thing that we wouldn't know that you miss not having opening day right now? Like, is it some? I think there's probably a great pleasure in like taking the Sharpie and writing that lineup in, or a pregame meeting with coaches, or something like that. What's something that behind the scenes we wouldn't know that you're missing today?
I'll tell you right now. Just for me, it's just honestly just waking up, knowing that I'm going to the ballpark opening day and starting to have conversation with coaches, trainers, players, sit in my office having that cup of coffee, and getting ready to strap it on. Really, I mean, that's what excites me most. And also being out there, you know, with the fans, getting our names called out, going out there and seeing all the fans cheering. This year, as you know, is going to be very special. You know, we get to raise the banner here, hopefully sooner than later. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we get those beautiful rings that I keep hearing about. I can't wait to get that on.
Yeah, I bet, and I can't wait to see you donning your ring and seeing you. I saw you get fitted while we were at spring training, so that was pretty cool. You mentioned raising the banner. You had a quote early on where you basically said, look, we're not going to do any of our in-house celebrating until the fans are allowed back in the ballpark. I'd be curious if you could just go into that a little bit, because you know, there were people, callers and folks initially kind of worried about that. Like, what if fans aren't allowed at games and they lower the banner and things like that? I know for you and the organization it's super important that whatever you're doing, the fans are a part of it.
Well, 100%. I mean, you know, and I truly believe that. You know, they were there. You know, I can remember after game seven, you know, all our fans standing above our dugout, elated about what we've done. You know, they went through. Heck, remember we went 19-31. You talk about adversity, and all of a sudden coming back and doing what we did. And seeing those fans, I think they deserve the right to be there when we hold up that flag and get our rings.
When was the moment, and Davey Martinez is with us, Nats manager, World Series champion Davey Martinez with us. Until they get dethroned, they are still the champs.
I like the way that sounds, by the way.
It's pretty cool. I like being able to say it. Yeah, it's not bad. Anytime you walk into a room, like you can announce like it's a formal environment. His Highness, the World Series champion, Mr. Davey Martinez. Go back through that playoff run, Davey. When was the moment that you knew, hey, wait a minute, this is different. This isn't just another run through. This is special.
You know, I for me, it was the wild card game. I mean, it really was. Coming back like we did in the bottom of the eighth inning, and watching these guys, I sat on the field and watched, and I thought, this is going to be something special. It really is. I mean, you could feel that unity. You could feel that one heartbeat that the guys were carrying at that moment. So, I just kept praising them. I kept telling them, hey, look, every day it's 1-0 every day, man. I never get tired of saying it. I live my life like that every day. But we, that's what we focused on, going 1-0 every day.
Davey Martinez on Grant and Danny. We just went through in the first hour kind of series by series with some highlights, taking people back down memory lane, and we got a bunch of tweets from people who were enjoying all the radio calls, and I think it was therapeutic for a lot of people. But the thing that I remembered in doing that, Davey, was anybody who kind of had a bad moment or a bad look or a bad at-bat or committed errors or whatever, they redeemed themselves. Like, you think of Howie early in that Dodger series and, of course, how it all ended. You think of Patrick Corbin when you first use him out of the bullpen struggling and the way that he pitched in Game 7 of the World Series. Curious if you could just speak to, yes, the resilience all year long, but it seemed almost like somebody somewhere wrote this script where you went back to the well on guys who had let you down even minimally, and boy, did they make you look good eventually.
Yeah, these the guys you talk about, and all those guys that were there, they're the heartbeat. They really were. I wasn't going to give up on any of those guys, none of those guys. I mean, I told them from the beginning, it takes a 25-man roster every single day to win a championship. And they understood that. There wasn't one time where a guy, if something didn't work out the way we planned, the next day he'd come to my office, he'd come right in and say, hey, Davey, I'm ready to go today. And I said, hey, I know that. I said, and be ready because, if we need you, you'll be in there. And they all stepped up to the occasion.
Davey, it's one of those things where I'm just a dumb fan, and I just want to live in the past. I just want to go over and over and over again and just replay Charlie and Dave's calls and watch the television type stuff and just live in this moment that was so incredible. But you guys had the business of baseball to attend to. How much is it okay to draw upon the past, knowing that you proved that you could do it, you got over the hump, and you're a World Series champion versus getting back down to business here? Do you draw upon that experience, or you kind of turn the page and say none of that matters? How do you kind of balance that?
Yeah, for me, it's the process. And I've said this before. I mean, remember how we got there. Remember what we did to overcome adversity, and hold on to that because that'll get you through. That'll get you through time in and time out. And then let's go out and play the game. Let's focus on the here and now, and focus on what transpires today. But I don't ever want these guys to forget that feeling of holding up that trophy, that feeling of what they've done and how they stuck together throughout that whole year last year. I mean, that's a feeling that, for me, I wake up every day when I don't feel things are right. I go back to that feeling, and that gets me going. That gets me through the day.
Davey, this is item number 8,632 on like the things you should be asked about the World Series run. But we were just going game by game through it, and I said, I've never asked Davey about that. I'd be interested. So go back to Game 6. You get ejected, remember, after you kind of flip out. You may recall that you
really
flipped out.
I don't really remember that. What happened?
Hey, so, what's funny about that is that I watch all the games except that game.
Oh, really? You won't watch that one?
Well, I watch all the way up to the point where I get ejected, and Chip and I do a little salsa dance there in between. Yeah. And then
why is that? You don't like yourself watching yourself do that, or?
Yeah. I mean, I know myself, and I'm very passionate, and I love what I do. And I, like I said, I'm going to stick it for my guys. But it's something that, you don't ever want for me, I don't, never want it to get that far. But, you know, I blew my top a little bit that day.
Rightfully so, by the way.
You did what you had to do. But here's the question. So after you get ejected, and in general, are managers completely, you know, you're in the back of the clubhouse, I'm sure, like sitting in a recliner in your office or something. Bobby Valentine used to, like, wear a little mask and come back out. You might not have anything to do with decisions the rest of the game. I have no idea how that works if you're still in contact with Chip. But Stras that night pitched 8 1/3 innings and had 104 pitches. He got taken out with two outs left in the game. And I still wish he could have finished that game. I'm just curious, like, did you have anything to do with that decision? Or when you look back, do you think it was the right time to pull him? Or it would have been awesome for him to have a complete game in the World Series.
Yeah, you know, it would have been awesome. You know, for me, you got to remember, hey, you know, at that point, you know, we knew we had the guys to finish the game at the end. Shrush did everything he could. We asked him to do things that he never thought he was capable of doing, which is come out of the bullpen a bunch, pitch, you know, three games, you know, 3 days rest. And he pitched a lot of innings. I mean, he pitched a lot of innings last year. So that came, for me, that the decision to do that was based on where we were at that point. You know, we knew it was going to be his last game, but we also had to think about the future of Steven Strasburg. And that's where that decision came from. You know, I get thrown out, and Chip does a great job. I try not to tell Chip what to do ever. He was awesome, you know. So, but you know, that decision came, you know, Paulie came up and I said, look, you know, you have these other guys down there, you know, he was barking a little bit at the, you know, in the seventh inning. So, you know, I told Chip, hey, you make that decision, you make that call, you know, and, I thought he made the right call, for our club and for Steven.
Davey, similarly, just talking about starting pitching, you know, that's how this club is built. And I remember we're doing the pregame show when the news comes out that Max Scherzer couldn't go in game number 5, you know, had to be driven to the ballpark and couldn't get his shirt on and everything else. Can you go through what you learned when, and then the, you know, miraculous recovery and everything else when you learned that he'd be able to ultimately go in game 7?
Yeah. So, you know, I got a text at 8 o'clock in the morning that day saying that he woke up and couldn't move his head. His neck was jacked up. You know, right then and there, you know, it's like, okay, you know, it's not the way you want to start your day, but, let's think about what we got. You know, there was no hesitation. You know, I immediately, you know, talked to Paul Menhart and tell him that, hey, we got to reach out to Joe Ross, tell him that he's going to start the game. You know, and we'll go from there. I mean, that's just the way of things. Unfortunately, that those things happen. And, just, you know, I had all the confidence in the world in Joe. And by the way, I thought Joe did a phenomenal job, you know, to come out there and pitch in the World Series, you know, not knowing till the day of a game that you're going to start. He did a great job.
Davey Martinez on Grant and Danny. Hey, Davey, we've already raised, as of 10:30 this morning, $19,364.80 through Nats Philanthropies and 106.7 The Fan for those that are food insecure in D.C. So it's an incredible cause today. We're sending people to nationals.com/fund to donate right now, a cause I know that you're behind as well.
Absolutely. You know, this is something that, you know, we started, you know, it's the Nats for Good Fund. The goal is to support our community where it's needed most. And today, you know, with everybody donating, I personally am going to donate $7,500 to the fund. And I hope that, you know, people will do the same and just donate what you can. What I want to do is, you know, within the next hour, the first person that donates over $106 or more, they will get an autographed jersey from me, myself.
Oh, wow.
Dave Martinez nice. Jersey. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I'll do the blue jersey, which we wore in game 7 of
Love
the
it.
World Series. So, and that doesn't happen often.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Nice,
so,
man.
What do people have to do to try to get their hands on that jersey, Davey?
So you know, it's $106 donation. You know, the goal is for me in the next hour is hopefully to try to raise $10,000. Like I said, I'm donating $7,500 myself. But, you know, for people to come out and reach out, within the next hour, they're going to randomly pick out the first 100 people, put it in a hat, and whoever donates. And then after that, it's, you know, the guy gets a call, and he gets a jersey autographed by me.
Excellent. Love that.
Awesome,
Davey,
man.
Thank you so much. Go to nationals.com/fun. They can track exactly when those donations come in, so you could be one of the 100 between now and the end of the hour. You got a chance to get that signed navy blue jersey. Davey's talking about that the Nats were donning throughout their World Series run. Well, Davey, thanks so much. We really appreciate you hopping on and trying to help us raise money. And congrats again on what was an epic 2019.
Hey, I miss you guys. Miss the Nats fans. Like I said before, nobody has a timetable when we'll be back, but we'll be back, and we're going to raise that flag together.
We'll be there, man.
Let's do it. We will be there when it happens. Davey Martinez, boys and girls, on a feel-good day here on 106.7 The Fan. How about that, Danny? $7,500.
How about it, right?
Very, very cool as the journey continues. Davey stepping up to the plate. So go right now, nationals.com/fund, and make your donation. This is Grant and Danny. More calma. Bring it back. Bring it all back. Shirtless Brian Dozier dancing in my head.
Give me that.
Every $500 donation today gets a studio tour, a meet and greet, a chance to watch a 106.7 The Fan show live from the studio. If you donate $1,000, the next person to do that is going to get their own one-time weekend radio show. How cool would that be?
That's amazing, dude.
There is already a donation made. Actually, it was $1,067, so well done, by Andrew McLennard, who will be hosting his own radio show. But one more person during our show who does that will get to do that. We've got an update coming in just a few minutes on how much money we've raised since the start of our show. Remember, if you donate $106 right now, that's you can donate whatever you've got. If you got a couple of bucks, that's great. Nationals.com/fun. But if you donate 106, you're getting some bang for your buck because you get the Nats rally towel. You get the 106.7 The Fan Nats radio lanyard to listen to games at the ballpark. There are also hourly prizes, including this hour. You get entered into an opportunity to win a Dave Martinez signed baseball. And speaking of Davey, he just came on Grant and Danny. He himself is donating $7,500, and he's donating his navy blue postseason jersey signed to a listener, which is really, really cool. You got to be one of the first 100 people to donate starting right now, though, to be entered in for that opportunity to get that jersey from Davey.
That is pretty great. That is one of those unique items, right? The blue jerseys were the sort of the golden ticket for them, right? Everything changed once they put on those blue jerseys. That became sort of part of the mystique, their alternate type deals, right, that they don't normally wear for special occasions. Well, it all remained pretty special as they went through those playoffs. So I believe it's the Game 7 jersey, right? And he's going
to
sign that badge.
Yeah, it sounded to me like he's saying it's his game worn, like game used silly is kind of the way he described it.
So the point is there aren't many of those out there.
Tom, you're a jersey collector. A, you're telling me they're not mass-produced, but also you use a jersey – and you give it to someone from a game like that, that's a pretty nice keepsake, eh?
Well, either way, whether it's game worn or not, I mean, I'm with you where that's what it sounds like he was down donating. But the blue jersey, just on a whole, was not really mass produced. There were a lot of people that went to the Nats team store down here at Nats Park trying to get the blue jersey after they had won the World Series, and Majestic, because of the turnover to Nike, because they were supposed to be wearing Nike this year, they had just stopped production, from what I understand, on those blue jerseys entirely. So just to get a blue jersey that has the Nationals
point
on the front, either way, is a collector's item.
Yeah, this is all presented today, by the way. Everything we're doing, all the money we're trying to raise, made possible to do the show this way today by Paisanos. Not just pizza, something for everyone delivered. PaisanosPizza.com. Take care of them, by the way, because a lot of companies, and I'm not blaming them, they can't spend right now like they had been. And for Paisanos to do this for us today, really, really a big deal. So if you want to order some food and get some pizza, go with Paisanos here in the next couple of days. Really cool opportunity for us today because of what they've done. By the way, I'll just tell you, the Nats navy blue jerseys are my one seed in D.C. sports right now. There are other jerseys that I really like. I love the Caps alternate sweaters. the red with kind of the white on the sleeves, if you remember, yeah. Or even the white with the red on the sleeves, mm-hmm. depending on which way they go with it now. But the kind of throwback Stars Capitals red and white jerseys that they use as their third alternates. Big fan of those. Those are probably number two. I like the Redskins when they go burgundy jersey and white pants. I still think traditionally that's an excellent look that probably gets the bronze medal. But the navy blue Nats jersey is my one seed right now in D.C.
That's not a bad call by you, especially because of what it signifies. I'll think of them winning the World Series in those blues forever. So you're right. That alt jersey is pretty sweet. My number one seed, of course, is the white on white with burgundy socks Redskins jersey. I just think of Sean Taylor menacing people from the secondary.
You love
downhill.
The white on white?
I love it so much. I love it so much.
I definitely liked it in the moment. When I look at the pictures, I don't know why, Danny. It's like a movie that didn't age well. I don't dislike it, but I don't prefer it to something with burgundy in it.
Oh, well, because the burgundy trim is what made it for me. Because if you just have a plain old white jersey, what's special about that? But the Redskins used to be one of the few teams that wore white at home, and that was always a nice symbol for me, something I really liked. And, of course, they stopped doing that, and it became about Bruce and his dumb gold pants. But the more mustard pants, honestly. But I love that jersey and that combo. It's just so clean, and with, like, the burgundy helmets and with the design, everything to me looks so perfect. So that's my one seed, but 1A, because of what it signifies, is that Nats blue.
I did not like burgundy on burgundy from the Redskins. I thought that they were for like a night game once. I want to say it was actually the disaster of a Monday night game against the Steelers at FedEx.
It might have been.
When the Steelers came to town against Jim Zorn, and they were like, the Redskins were 6-2 and they fell apart. But burgundy on burgundy, if I never see that again, I'd be happy.
Anytime, and this may be a little bit of a hot one. This warm up the take alarm here on this from me. But this is how I feel, and I mean this. I think anytime the jersey and pants are the same color, it looks like pajamas, and it looks stupid. The Ravens dumb purple on purple, or sometimes they do the black on black. Anybody, any team that's got the same color pantaloons as they do jersey, in the NFL anyway, like in Major League Baseball, like, baseball pants are white. That's pretty universal. So a white jersey isn't crazy. But in the NFL, I don't like any same color combo, regardless of what it is. Why don't with the exception?
Yeah, I can't go there with you. I think there are some good looking color jerseys.
With the exception of the Redskins white on white, that to me is the exception.
And you're ready to get rid of the color rush. See, I'm all for that.
I
like
despise
that. I think sometimes it's ugly, like the Rams when they go gold on gold. Some, you know, the Bills went red on red. I think some of those can be bad, but there are definitely colors that work. And there are a couple of black on blacks even that I like. Like the Jaguars I don't love as much. I think sometimes when the Ravens do it, though, it's almost like a different look. I don't know if it's the helmet or what.
It's the pajama
look. I think that it works a little bit better for the Ravens when they pull that off. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our double play at 11:45. Dave Jagler joins us at noon today. Remember, Max Scherzer of the Nationals at 12:30. You can donate right now and be one of the 100 people entered in for a chance to get that jersey that Davey Martinez was talking about. You need to donate $106 at nationals.com/fun. We're trying to keep up with the junkies who raised well over $10,000 during their show. Let's, as a show, as a family here, the Grant and Danny radio community, let's top what the junkies did, shall we? You're listening to The Fan.
Verlander straight up as he takes signs now into his wide. Here's the pitch. Soto swings and hits one high and deep to right. This is way back. Going, and gone. Goodbye. Into the second deck. A tremendous home run for Juan Soto. Bang. Zoom goes the magic wand. Juan Soto gives the Nationals the lead. Soto home runs the inning from Eaton and for Soto. Washington 3 and Houston 2.
Juan Soto's been a National for 2 years, and he already might be top two or three all-time in most significant postseason clutch moments in one playoff because of the lengthy run for the Nationals last year. Danny, top of your head, how many home runs and how many RBI do you think Soto had in the playoffs last year?
3 and 12.
5 home runs, 14 RBI.
Wow, he had 5?
I think we forget a little bit how great he was. He homered twice and drove in four against the Dodgers. Again, he had the two RBI in the big swing in the wild card game before that. NLCS, he was actually pretty quiet, had one batted in and no homers, hit 188. And then in the World Series, he hit 333 with three homers and seven batted in seven games against the Astros.
So now I'm kind of remembering. Okay, so the homer off Verlander, the oppage piece that went, you know, steroid era right-handed hitters. That's where he went when he went oppo, right,
he took Cole to deep left center as well. Field.
That's right. Was that homer off Cole, the opposite field piece?
I believe it was.
That's two right there. Now you're right. You're starting to add up a little bit. Top of my head, I remembered three just instantly right away. The Verlander, and now we take our bat to first base and hand it off to the first base coach in retaliation for what Bregman did.
Well, one of the two in the Dodger series was off Kershaw to tie
the Kershaw one. Yeah, I remember
the
that
game
one.
In game five.
That's five. Man, oh, man. Okay. I buy it.
Here's why I bring that up. Juan Soto is my favorite athlete in D.C. sports right now, period.
I don't hate that.
Like, people ask all the time, who's your favorite player? Who's the guy you like the most? As a sports fan, putting aside what we do and interviews and all these different things, and by the way, he's been nothing but classy and come on the air, and the fact that he learned English and he could do his own interviews already as a 21-year-old kid from the Dominican is amazing. Mm-hmm. But he is my favorite player in D.C. sports. I say this all the time. Now, I've never really been a baseball jersey guy, would never wear a baseball jersey. I will get a Juan Soto jersey for this year for when I go to Nats Park. We've got an update for you on how much money we've raised. You want it?
Yes, I do, sir.
So remember, this hour, Davey Martinez signed baseball, plus Davey came on the air with us. He pledged to donate $7,500 to our cause as well. So that's cool. The first 100 people that donate after Davey's interview, so there are still spots open, have a chance to win his jersey that he was wearing, the navy blue jersey, during the World Series, which is awesome as well. But on top of all those things that Davey's done that we're doing here on 106.7, the Junkies raised well over $10,000. You can go to nationals.com/fund. This is all to benefit and raise money for those who are food insecure in Washington, D.C. We are now up to $21,280 since this started at 10 a.m. today.
That's amazing. Very cool.
138 people have donated. 100 of you have made $106 donations. We've got a couple $500 donations. We've got two $1,000 donations as well. And $21,000 total as Mike Rizzo matched during the entire hour when he came on with the Junkies earlier today. Every donation that came in, which was awesome. James Campbell won the baseball last hour that was signed in the first hour of our show. So James Campbell is winning the Victor Robles signed baseball.
That is neat. I love this. I like that everybody's getting something out of it. You know what I mean? It, like the charity is the big overarching thing, but we're all coming together, man. Again, we are all in this bad boy together.
Here is what we're finding out right now. I got to pass a couple things along on the Davey front. But from our hour specifically, I just got this email from Brendan. Mm-hmm. The first hour of our show from 10 to 11, and we'll get the update from 11 till right now, Davey making the offers that he did obviously is going to help us. We raised $2,800 in the first hour of our show.
Nice.
How about that? So we are on our way to being able to say we raised nearly $10,000 as a show. So help us out. Go to nationals.com/fund. So Davey is signing one of the blue jerseys. It's like the ones that they wore in the postseason. It sounds like the jersey he actually wore in the World Series is in Cooperstown right now. So I don't think he's able to go get that one and give it away.
I see.
But it
yes.
is a blue jersey that he's got that is his jersey. He's going to sign it. He's going to give it away. He's also offering the winner of the jersey four tickets to a home game, and he will personalize the signature and hand-deliver the jersey pregame. How about
neat.
That?
That
so I just
awesome.
Got this text message. Davey's going to bring the jersey to you. He will personalize it. He will sign it to you. You're getting four tickets to the game and that jersey. We're going to pull the winner at 1:30, and we'll announce the winner before the end of the show. So
That's
go make
awesome.
Your donation right now at nationals.com/fund. How about the Nats stepping up with us today on 106.7 The Fan?
They get it, man. You got to be part of this thing, right? And that's what they are. They're understanding they're not just existing in a vacuum. This is real. This is going on. This is happening right here in their community where their players live. So they're doing something about it, which I love.
I go Soto. You could take him as well, I suppose, although I'll be a little bit jealous. Who is your one seed Washington National?
Zimmerman, still. Just, again,
Zim.
I You'll never talk me out of it. A, because I've gotten to know him over the years, lucky in that way, and he let me do something that, you know, we met, I think, I can't even remember what year it was. It would have been like 2009 or something to that effect. And, you know, both our families have been affected by the same thing without going, you know, kind of too far into it. But I said, I want to help. Let me do something. I've got no money. I've got no skills. I can, you know, I'll sweep up at your event. And so him and his team were kind enough to let me host the Zims event each and every year. And we've kind of gotten to be friends over the years based on our mutual interest and those sorts of things. And just, again, there was no reason to watch this team, right, for the first few years, other than, hey, it's baseball back in town and I'm watching. You know, the diehards, who are crazy people who just wanted the sport here, are going to go watch. But what was the reason to turn it on? What was the reason to be excited? It was him. He sort of represented to me the beginning of the change, the beginning of, let's make this a real franchise. You know, there are speed bumps on the way. There's Nat Knowles. There's, you know, some of the embarrassments and the things that happened. But he, to me, ushered in this new era of Nationals baseball, right? He was the first big domino to fall as their first draft pick, who panned out. You know, the first pick of this Nationals organization, gets to the big leagues, turns himself into a really good player, is right there in terms of some of the best in the game, as a Gold Glove caliber third baseman, and the clutch hits and everything else. So great in the community. That's the guy that you'll have a hard time talking me out of.
I love Zim. I'm a Zim guy. He's in the podium. He's in the team photo for me. I got to go Soto and my silver medal winners, Max Scherzer. The debate kind of opens up after that. But what Max has done since coming here, people panned the Nats when they signed him at 30 years old for $210 million. He's been the best free agent signing, not only in team history, but maybe in Major League Baseball history. In five seasons here, he's got five All-Star appearances. He's been in the top five in Cy Young voting every single year. He's won the award twice. He would have won the award again this year, very likely. What he's done has been absolutely incredible, and without him, you don't have a World Series championship. Think about the no-hitters, the 20 strikeout games, the magnificent outings, the number of, you know, must-see events that his games have become.
Yeah.
Every time he pitches here in Washington, D.C. now, you feel like you have to be at the ballpark. He's going to be on the show in less than an hour today at 12:30. And congratulations is in order. We've got a $1,000 donation to host the show on the weekend from Chris Shoemaker. So Chris Shoemaker gets the one-time weekend show.
Nice, Chris.
You get to talk about whatever you want. Ratings don't matter, my friend. Do bits. Do skits. Talk about the Nats batting order if you want to. It's your show.
Book your buddies as guests, you know, fantasy football stuff. Whatever you want to do, bro. It's your show. Awesome.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's really, really cool. Congratulations. Our double play is next. At noon, Dave Jagler, you can donate at nationals.com/fun. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks for listening as always. What a day this has been already. Davey Martinez of the Nats joined us, donated $7,500 to our cause. We are almost Radiothon-esque right now, raising money left and right, Danny. We're up over $21,000 since the start of the Junkies at 6 a.m. as a station. You and I in our first hour with our listeners up to $2,800 and grooving, thanks to the donation of Davey Martinez of a signed jersey, a meet and greet, four tickets, as he's motivating people to donate at least $106. First 100 people will have a chance for that meet and greet with Davey. Again, it's nationals.com/fund. That's F-U-N-D. If you want to make a donation, and it's all presented by Paisanos, who have made this possible today, not just pizza, something for everyone delivered. PaisanosPizza.com. All of the proceeds, everything that we are raising, is going directly to area nonprofits that are working every day to support food insecurity needs, health, and human services. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
So, GP, last night, this is kind of a reminder of what's going on. And this gave me my own little micro thing, made me remember there's a big picture thing in here. And here's where I'm going with this. Obviously, I'm fine. But last night, I had the worst stomach upset, kind of bubble guts sort of situation. And I felt terrible, right? So I went to bed pretty early, ended up falling asleep for a little bit, and like woke up, and my schedule was all off, and whatever. I'm fine today. But it's a reminder. And as we're kind of like going out and about and doing things with the kids and different stuff like that, it's the whole point of this distancing deal, right, is that we don't have any kind of medical emergencies. You know what I mean? But there's still the stuff that's going to happen in life, a.k.a. After Thanksgiving or before Thanksgiving last year when I fell on my dumb stairs and broke my rib. People are still doing that. They're still having stupid stuff happen. They're still having normal maladies happen. And that's kind of what we're all trying to prevent here with this distancing, right, is, A, the infection sort of slowing down, but also to not overwhelm the hospitals. And that's, like, the big issue going around. So I was reminded, and again, I didn't need to go to the hospital. I just had, you know, an annoying stomach situation. But I'm, like, trying to be so overzealous and overcautious to the point of being a helicopter parent with my kids, where all I'm saying is, please no injuries, please be safe. I'm, like, ruining the fun that they're trying to have. But at the same time, it's at the expense of saying we need to make sure that we don't have any kind of emergency here and can't go to the hospital. I'm wondering if other people are sort of experiencing that same kind of deal, you know, where this is already tough to get through, you know, especially folks with kids, right, where it's just, you know, you're just doing your best to get them through the day and get their stupid schoolwork done and whatever else. And you're sitting there going,
schoolwork.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, at this point, it's stupid, but whatever. We've got to do it. It's the right thing to do because I hate it because it's a fight every morning. I can hear the meltdowns that are all taking place, and it's miserable for everybody involved, but you're doing what you're supposed to do. But at the same time, it's like, okay, now it's time to have fun, but it's like, let's have very structured, organized, helmet wearing, elbow pads, no injuries, you know, nothing potentially hazardous type fun. And I've turned into that hyper-protective mom that is super concerned about having any kind of injury.
Yes, I think a lot of people are going through that. Like, I don't remember if I told you this or not, but I woke up the other night. This is probably weekend, I would think, like several days ago now. And I was sleeping, and Fiona was sleeping kind of like on my chest or stomach. Like, she had crawled up on the couch and was like between me and the cushion on the couch. And I remember waking up, and maybe it was partially that. It's probably also some anxiety because your boy, you know, just – like everyone right now is worrying about everything. And so I woke up and I was short of breath. You know, I don't have like sleep apnea or anything like that, but I kind of woke up and like I was like, my chest feels heavy, you know, I don't feel right. And I'm struggling to like just get my breath a little bit. And I'm thinking, oh my God, here we go. This is coronavirus. This is COVID-19. Every time people cough, I think they think about that right now. Don't you? You don't have to be a hypochondriac.
100%.
You don't have to be someone who worries about getting ill all the time. Like, you start coughing because you swallow something down the wrong pipe and you're going, damn, I wonder if this is the beginning. I not even exaggeration. Yesterday at one point, I'm moving a bunch of boxes and packing up a truck. And I could just feel, you know how like when your nose runs a little bit, you can feel like on your nose, you can feel like a little liquid and you just kind of like wipe it with your hand, right?
Yeah, of course.
I felt that, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm getting a runny nose. And I don't even think that's one of the symptoms, and I'm like, this is it. But, like, I don't think I'm crazy, maybe a little bit, but I think most people are doing that, where least little thing happens and you start to worry.
Well, so, I mean, and again, it's everyone's distancing, but everyone was also outside yesterday afternoon when it's time for me to take kids for a walk. So everyone's giving each other a wide berth, and we're all doing the best we can. And now there's, like, this the new study says it's airborne and lives in the air for 20 days. And you're like, oh, my God, like, what the hell is going on? But so – it's springtime. The temperature's changed going up and down. I got allergies. I'm fine. I have no issue, but my eyes itch a little bit. And as you mentioned, so I sneeze yesterday as I'm walking my kids out and about. And it was like a gunshot went off, right?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's turning and looking at you.
So, yeah. So it's like this sickness embarrassment that I've got. So, I mean, I'm not kidding you. Within eyesight, there were probably 25 or 30 people, all at various distances from me. And it's quiet enough that there are no cars on the road, so there's no ambient sound to sort of take away from it. I absolutely sneezed into my shirt, right? So I lift up the shirt like I'm a pirate or like a bank robber, right? And I sneeze into my shirt, and that's where it all goes. It's not going out in the air. No one's got to walk through it or whatever. And you would have thought that I had just like yelled the most racist thing possible. I mean, people were looking at me like I was a hardened criminal at that point, just walking among them. You know, and I'm like, I'm fine, everybody. And like my oldest son is like, why'd you say that? I was like, I think people are very concerned. I think there's some concern.
You yelled, I'm fine, everybody?
Yeah, I yelled, I'm fine, because everyone was staring at me.
They're all thinking, this guy's got a sneezing problem and he's out in public.
It's this infected, terrible person, this selfish, awful guy is out here trying to infect all of us.
I absolutely think, though, on average, because I'm thinking about it, too. Like, I'm looking at everyone in the store now in this cynical kind of convinced way where I'm convicting all of them of something. If you're wearing a mask, really good chance you're just trying to take precaution. But I'm assuming you've got it and you're out here. And same thing. Anyone gets too close to me. We were talking to Nate from Barstool, who called in the other day from New York and was saying that this guy was standing too close to him, and they got into a shouting match at the store because the guy wasn't respecting his space. But same thing, like the other day I'm at a grocery store and I'm trying to grab something off the shelf, and this woman, as if nothing is going on in society right now, basically over my shoulder, like literally touching arms, grabbed something. And I wanted to scream at her. Now, I didn't. I just kind of walked away and immediately put hand sanitizer all over my arms. But there are just people that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then there are people who are, and I'm looking at everyone as if, like, one of you guys in this store right now has it. Which one is it? You know, you're trying to figure it out.
And you don't care. Yeah, you're now the COVID detective. That's what
but
you're doing.
But they might not even know it. Like, crazy lady who reached over me probably doesn't even know that she's got it. That's the problem.
Exactly.
That's
right.
What's scary. But yes, I get what you're saying. I think everyone's in the same boat. Like, we all, at every moment, anything happens, are thinking about this going, oh, maybe I'm next. And it's terrible, but that's where we all are now.
That's the reality.
Weird time. Dave Jagler, voice of the Nationals with Charlie Sloan, joins us next on Brent Daniels.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.